In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. So St. Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, "Certainly no man born of a human father and human mother embodies God's two great attributes, his power and his mercy, more than this Paul. This is especially true of the Paul that we have had presented to us in our reading for today. That is Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. That Paul stands as a testimony to God's power should be self-evident. Born in Tarsus, a Roman citizen, well-educated, privileged to be a Pharisee among Pharisees, Paul was on the fast track to success. His chosen path was among the Jewish upper crust. When that movement surrounded the contemporary maniac Jesus, the executed criminal from the little town of Nazareth continued to plague those in Paul's circle. He was the perfect man for the job of putting an end to it. Present at the stoning of Stephen, Paul soon embarked upon a reign of terror, dragging Christian after Christian, men and women alike, from their households and placing them into prison. So it was business as usual for this up-and-coming young Pharisee until a journey to Damascus. There, along the way, he came face to face with God's power in the person of the risen and ascended Jesus Christ. Face to face with God's power, yes, but for him who has eyes to hear, eyes to see, and ears to hear, well, that one realizes that this power was only in force to accomplish an act of great mercy. Paul, the persecutor of Jesus Christ, whose journey away from Jerusalem toward Damascus was very much symbolic of his lifelong journey away from God, was led home, not by God's power, but by God's love in the flesh, who said, "I am Jesus. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be instructed as to what you must do." Now, while it is true that for God's children it is very possible to see God's mercy at work in the conversion of Paul, this is not so for all. Not so, for instance, for those to whom the Spirit has not yet been given. For that matter, even those who have received this Spirit, those who are a part of the Christian church, have trouble seeing God's mercy at work. Why? Because of that old sinful flesh which continues to cling and nag, always ready and willing to listen to the voice of its master, the devil. Consider the following: that God's power lies hidden under natural created things is a great act of mercy, for no sinner may see God face to face and live, and all sin. Yet how many, on account of this hiddenness, heed the tempter's voice, which says, "If there is a God, where is he now?" How many heed Satan's voice and are led away from the place where God promises to be, namely hidden in the flesh and blood of that man, Jesus Christ? How many heed and journey the long way, turning from Jerusalem toward Damascus? That is to say, curving in on themselves instead of outward towards Christ. In this they fashion a false God, who is a prisoner of an internal feeling or present in some insignificant good work in the life of a self-proclaimed believer, who is none other, after all, than the sinner that lies hidden in us. For his part, though, God Almighty, the true God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the creator and sustainer of all things, this God will have no self-centeredness on the part of the people whom he has created. Therefore, he enters the world in acts of power in order to make known his great mercy. Acts of power, like the flood, where God preserved the human race out of mercy through the faithfulness of Noah. Acts of power, like the sun's coming in the flesh, which had lifted every valley, leveled every hill, set the crooked way straight, and made the rough places plain. It was this God-man, set apart to die for our sin, who went to the cross in the greatest moment of hidden power and glory and mercy, the moment of the crucifixion, marked forever by the great earthquake that announced God the Father's judgment upon the actions of his Son. An earthquake which released the dead from the prison of their tombs. 3 days later, this earthquake, this most unnatural natural sign of God's unlimited power and mercy, was followed by an aftershock which still resounds around our planet, one filled with the rumblings of the angel's message. Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen just as he said. And so it was this risen Jesus who appeared to Paul along the Damascus road, God's great power and greater mercy forever changing that man's life. What is more, it was this same Jesus who the apostle saw just as clearly in the teaching of God's appointed servant, Ananias, the water of baptism and the eating of a meal. In fact, he saw the risen Jesus more clearly than on the road. For in these things, the teaching, the water, the breaking of bread, as through means the Holy Spirit was given to Paul, his eyes were open, and he was set free. And that freedom, Paul was bound to Christ, who gave his life on the cross for Paul's sake. From that time, into all eternity, Paul became the one who we know from our reading, an icon of his master, a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of others. This reality was played out in that prison just before midnight, before the start of a new day. God's word was proclaimed by Paul and Silas to all who were there in prayer and song. With the coming of that earthquake, those words proclaimed by Jesus at the start of his ministry, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind." These words were fulfilled yet again. Through the witness of Paul and Silas, the effects of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, namely the forgiveness of sin, release from bondage to the devil, and the surety of everlasting life, were bestowed upon the prisoners gathered there. Indeed, so great was God's mercy in this action that it extended even to the jailer and his household, who thought that they would receive death in that powerful storm and instead had their ears opened to hear the words of life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. In another early morning miracle, they were bound to the crucified and risen one in the water of baptism, then giving thanks in the breaking of bread. Come to think about it, so great was God's mercy in that prison that it has reached through time and space to all of us gathered here, strengthening and creating a bond to that same Jesus Christ. God's love is displayed in that it is still before midnight. The day of judgment has not yet come. Therefore, the loving bond, which is the Holy Spirit, is freely given in the water of baptism. We, the baptized, are now forever linked to Jesus, bound to his incarnation, his baptism in the Jordan River, his cross of death for our salvation, his bursting forth from the spiced tomb, his riding up the heavenly way, his final coming at the day of doom. These we bind ourselves to willingly as a part of his new creation. By God's unlimited mercy, we know the truth, and it sets us free from the devil's great prisons of self-fear and self-doubt. We know this because the Holy Spirit reminds us of all that Jesus said and did while he was here through the words of the prophets and the apostles. These words now permeate our very being, so that, like the Apostle Paul, we have become icons of our Lord Jesus Christ, icons of Christ, called to be fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, sons, daughters, students, pastors, workers, who do the good works prepared for us. Works of worship and praise, which shine forth God's glory, and works of love toward neighbor that show God's mercy to the world. During this joyous Eastertide, with a hunger for our Lord's body and blood buried in our souls, and the sure hope of everlasting life set before our face, we stand in the presence of a merciful God and know that the words of the Apostle Paul are as certain in heaven as they are here today. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.